to speak about the masks that we wear. I want to speak about how those masks that we wear influence the relationships that we have, the relationships with God, as well as the relationships that we have with fellow men. And I want to speak to some of those relationships. I will speak to some of those masks to see how we can actually start stripping them away to really reveal the real us. And when we reveal the real us, we can truly reflect the glory of God. So, will you pray with me? Father God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the opportunity to preach. Father God, I pray that you come and fill the sanctuary with your spirit. I pray that you write your word on my heart and you release it on my tongue. And I pray a touch on the ears and the hearts of those that will hear it. I pray that it may be received in ears and it may be absorbed by the heart. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So can you turn with me to your Bibles, to Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. This is going to be the core passage that I'm going to be working from this morning, and I'm going to read it verses 1 to 10 from now, and I'll refer back to it throughout the sermon. So I'm reading from the NIV for those of you who want to know, and for those of you who don't have their Bibles today, I have provided it over here, and Megan at the back has done a spelling check for me, which she does on a regular basis throughout the week. So, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." So God is a God of relationships. You've often heard me say that, whether it be through men's ministry or another preach. I've always said that God is a God of relationships. He longs for a relationship with his children, us. And he's also created us for relationship amongst people. Created us for relationship with people so that we can influence and be influenced for the greater good of the kingdom. Counter to that is the devil. And the devil is opposite to God, and he wants to work in isolation. He's of the belief that if he can isolate, he would be able to separate, and through that he would be able to sow in his lies, he would be able to sow in his doubts and his deceit. And in that, evoke shame and guilt, and also the ability to tempt for sin. In the Garden of Eden, before the fall happened, God had established a perfect order. You had God the authority, and then with a perfect relationship with man. So that is the first part. God the authority, perfect relationship with man. And then you had man who had the perfect relationship with God. And then you had man who had a perfect relationship amongst themselves. It was a perfect order. Some would call it in biology homeostasis. The devil didn't want that. He didn't want that perfect order, because over there you had a structured kingdom of God that was actually perfect. And everything the devil wants is counter kingdom. So what he did is he went out and he tempted Eve. What he did with Eve is he sowed the seed of doubt. He first said, "Did God really say?" which started the doubt. But then also what he did is he got Eve to focus on the fruit that she couldn't have. focus on the fruit that you couldn't have and ignore the abundance of blessing that you had. The abundance of all the trees, all the animals that were in the Garden of Eden. That was the blessing, together with an amazing relationship with God. But the devil got her to focus on what she couldn't have, what she didn't have. And through that, there was a temptation, and she felt that temptation, and there was sin. And the devil was very, very quick to use these relationships that had been established, because the devil used the relationship between Adam and Eve to influence Adam and also have Adam fall. And in a series of lies, doubt, and deceit, all of a sudden, the perfect order of relationship between God and man and God, and amongst men was absolutely shattered. You had Adam and Eve that were running around looking for fig leaves. Fig leaves that you're trying to hide away from a creator. Your very creator, who knows your very being, you're running around to hide behind fig leaves. It's almost like when 2 weeks ago I had the opportunity where we had to look after Benji for a bit, and I was playing hide and go seek with him. And he gets incredibly humid when you play hide and go seek with him, because he's still in the environment where if he hides behind a couch and you can see his legs, you still got to humor him and say that you can't find him. It's very much like that. The relationship between God and man is supposed to be like how we see a child and a parent. So that was established. It was broken. And, you know, for me, that wasn't even the worst thing. The worst thing was, for me, is that Adam and Eve had the relationship with God. In the scripture, it spoke that God walked amongst the garden, walked amongst them. They had the relationship that we all crave today to have with God. They had it, and because of their fear and because of their exposed shame, they ran away and hid from God. For me, that is absolutely tragic. And if you think back, well, if you think today, not much has changed with the devil. Still the same devil with the same amount of tricks, the same bag of tricks filled with lies, filled with deceit, filled with doubt, and filled with the desire to cause us to sin. And all of that is to feel shame, to feel guilt, to facilitate lies. All of those are the goal of the devil. And when we've got those, that causes us to mask up. You see, but the difference between when the fall happened to now is that Jesus has come. So Jesus has come, and he's fulfilled the law. God's desire for relationship with us was to send his perfect son to die on the cross for us. And through that, there can be a restoration of relationship. Restoration with the relationship in the way God intended. And not only restoration of relationship, but also to set the perfect example of how to have a relationship with the Father, and how we should have a relationship with one another. Okay. So when you think that Jesus was on the cross, he lay there bare on the cross and his blood poured out. That blood was priceless. Because with that blood, what that did is it covered our sins. It covered our shame. It covered our faults. It covered our weaknesses. And with that covering of our faults, our weaknesses, and its shame, what it also did is it covered the need for us to wear masks. We no longer needed to cover, or we no longer need to wear masks. So I'm going to go on, and I'm going to speak to God's desire of having that relationship with us. But more importantly, God has a desire to have us be free and real. You know, when you look at the relationship in the way God intended, he wanted to have us as children made in his image, his perfect image. And it's almost like the 2-year-old kid that's got no shame, has got no understanding of shame. So they run shamelessly naked, and they cry out in desperation for food, or they cry out in desperation when they're in pain. No shame or no reservation. They just cry. You got to feed. You just cry, and there's pain. There's a parent. There's a hope that their parents would actually support them. And that's the way God originally intended for us. The devil came, and he perverted that image of this shameless child of God and the Father relationship. Jesus came, and through his death, he restored that relationship. Can you see God's desire for us to be real and for us to be free? Because when we are free and when we're real, that is truly when God can minister to us. God can grow us. God can direct our steps. God can mold us in the way that he intended. But you've got to realize that with God's desire for us to be free and real, you have to appreciate that the devil is there and there is a desire for him to entrap, to imprison, and to make us bonded to our shame and cover up. Okay. So what I want to go on to in this masquerade, this grand masquerade that Kerry's so well dressed for today, is I want to speak about four masks that I came across. Just in thinking about it, using the analogy of masks, I want to go through four of them. And the basis of it is always consistent with the relationship that God desires, a relationship with him and a relationship with his people. So the order of the masks is going to focus on how we establish our relationship with people. How we establish our relationship with God, how we use people to help us. And then afterwards, there is an outpouring of us actually connecting with people. So let's move to the first mask, the phantom mask. How many of you have watched The Phantom of the Opera? Okay. How many of you know about The Phantom of the Opera? Okay. For those of you who don't know, The Phantom is, he lives in the opera house, and he has got a deformity in one side of his face. And he's completely embarrassed about this deformity. So what he does is he uses that mask to cover up the side of his face where the deformity is. And I felt that was a good description to speak about the first mask that I wanted to speak about. You see, the world is out to tell us what a worldly idea of perfect is. The world is telling us, is warping the identity of man, is warping the identity of a woman, is constantly looking for ways to tell us what perfect is. You'll find marketing all over social media, on TV, in magazines, in newspaper, in the windows of shops, constantly telling us of what perfect is in the world. And then they don't only stop over there. What they will do is they will tell you when you haven't met that, you've somehow missed the boat. So if you think of the opportunity for the devil in there is really for him to speak lies into our life. That's the key opportunity. We've constantly been surrounded of what this worldly perfection is. And the devil will use that opportunity to constantly speak lies into your life. Sow doubt, speaking about how you don't match up. Speaking about how you are weak, or you don't measure up as a man, or you don't measure up as a woman. He will use the same way that he deceived Eve by getting us to focus on the fruit we don't have as opposed to the blessings that we do have. So here's the devil speaking to a man who's got a healthy marriage, a healthy family, and he will get that man to look at the person who has got a flourishing career and say, you haven't made it, and vice versa. Or he'll say to a lady who's got amazing brown, long hair and just tell her, you know what? You don't have blonde, curly hair. Constantly just looking at the blessings that you don't have or what God hasn't given you as opposed to the amazing blessings that you do have. Okay, so I can totally relate, because what this does is it completely just starts forcing you to put these masks on so that you can measure up to this level of perfection that the world is demanding, that the world is telling you is perfect. And unless you don't have that identity, you're in trouble. And I can completely relate, because, when I was preparing for the sermon, all I had to do was think back to my teenage years. Teenage years are hard years. It's 7 years of your life, and it is just, you find your body growing at different rates. So sometimes your head's bigger than your torso, your ears are smaller than your head, your nose sticks out. Sometimes there's acne. Things grow at different rates. You don't know what's going on. And for me, when I was in high school, I loved high school, but the reality was I went to an all-boys school. And that all-boys school had 1,200 boys in that school. So on a daily basis, when I was in class or when I was on the sports field, I constantly had a comparison of what good was, what perfect was. So I knew this was a hunting ground for the devil, and he constantly would speak into my life of how I didn't measure up. I knew that Marcus Vinicek had the biggest calves in the school. I knew that Ryan Small had the best jokes in the class. They got everyone to laugh. I knew Ross Guzovic had the most amazing beard for a teenage boy. It was just absolutely amazing. I think it rivaled Troy's. And I knew Luke Grant had just his way with the girls. And it was this constant me looking and seeing how I didn't measure up. How I didn't measure up. And what I found myself doing was actually layering on masks so that I could measure up to these boys that I was trying to measure with. So what did I do? There were some days, and in South Africa, I realized that temperatures go over 30 degrees quite often in summer. And there were some days I would wear two sets of socks. So socks came up over here, and I'd wear two sets of socks so that my legs looked a bit thicker than what I needed to be. That's a true story. Right? I found myself telling jokes in class that I wouldn't be proud of to tell at the dinner table to my mom and dad. And the other side was that on Fridays or Saturdays when I would go out with my friends to the movies, sometimes what I would do is I would take my mom's mascara and just fill in where there was patchy stubble on my face. That's also a true story. The reality is that here I was focusing on these 1,200 boys of telling me what perfect was. But I had a very immature view of where my identity lay. You see, my identity lies that I am made in the image of the one true God. I am made in the image of the one true God. And that's an important perception. That's an important concept to have. Because as soon as you establish your identity in God, doesn't matter who's got the biggest calves or who's got the funniest jokes. You are made in God's image. And I want to stop at this moment because I don't want to brush over it too quickly. But I want you to think about this because I know it's not just me. Maybe you're not wearing two pairs of socks when you're a teenager, but there's constant comparison. There's constant feelings of being inadequate. And I want to stop and tell you that you are made in the image of the one true God. That is according to Genesis 2. You were knitted, you were woven in your mother's womb when you were created by the one true God. And that is in Psalm 139. And the one true God knows the very number of hairs on your head, according to Luke 12. This is a one true God that has given you a true definition of what perfection is. You can't have a distorted definition of what perfection is after you've looked into the scriptures and know that you have been made in the image of God. And for one moment, if you are thinking that you are not perfect or you fall short, I'm telling you, stop. Because if you're going around and you're disagreeing with what the image of God is, you're truly undermining His glory. You are made in the image of God. And that is the true definition of perfection. And that is the foundation of your identity. And it's stronger than any lie of the devil telling you that you should be ashamed of how you look. You should be ashamed of what you earn. You should be ashamed of just things of how you made, who you are, and where you find yourself in life. So I want to encourage you, don't listen to those lies. Victor, you are made in the image of God. Marcy, you are made in the image of God. Gabe, you are made in the image of God. Dana, you are made in the image of God. You've got to appreciate that. That is the confidence with which you walk and the foundation on which you live your life. Okay. Next two masks I want to speak about are the hockey masks and the clown masks. Any of you who are afraid of clowns, I'm really sorry, I should have put a PG on the sermon, but yep, there's a clown mask over there. And the reason why I wanted to use these as a description is because a hockey mask and a clown mask actually serve very good purposes. A hockey mask is designed to keep objects out from hitting you. And it's not only keep objects out, but it's also designed to save you from the impact of those objects hitting you. How often do we wear a hockey mask when people are trying to get in? A clown mask on the other side is something that masks whatever the person is looks like behind, and it just puts a smile on the face. Just puts a smile on the face that everything's okay, and it's used to entertain families and kids in the circus. Okay? God, being a God that loves relationships, has placed us in families, with friends, and in communities so that we may flourish. We may flourish that they may help us when we're walking through our struggles. We may flourish and they can help us mature as Christians. Knowing that God is a God of relationships and has placed us in these communities, you've got to know that the devil is there to try and isolate you. Because he knows that when he isolates you, he can undermine what God is doing. He can draw you away from the people. So what he will do is he'll speak lies into your life that you have to carry this load yourself. You have to carry the weight of your sin by yourself. You should be ashamed of what you've done. No one will understand. Your church people won't understand because they are holier than you. All these lies undermining what God's trying to do in a community. And slowly but surely what we do as we listen to these lies, we draw back and we start putting on these masks. So we put on that hockey mask, and what that hockey mask does is it protects us against the efforts of what your church community, family or friends are trying to do to help you, as well as protects you against the impact of it. So they just try in all these efforts to draw you out, surround you, help you, carry you, and it's just hitting you and bouncing off. Very, very defensive. And then you've got the other side where people maybe won't be defensive, but what they'll do is they'll put a clown mask on. And the clown mask is just this fake smile. And they will sit here in church, or they'll sit with their friends, or they'll go have coffee afterwards, and it's just the smile on your face. But deep down, there's just this burning hurt, this burning guilt, this burning 800 gorilla monkey, 800 pound gorilla. I can't say gorilla monkey, but 800 pound gorilla on your back of shame, of fear, and it just feels as though that you've got to carry it. And that's the devil working in your life. And again, I can relate because I've been through a season in my life in the past where it's been a dark season. And it was a dark season where I started to believe the lies that no one would understand my past mistakes. I started to believe that people would be judging me if I even had to speak out about it or try and deal with it. So what did I do? I would come to church, and I would typically sit at the back, and as soon as church was done, I would leave. And only for me to carry that 800-pound gorilla on my back for the next week of shame, of fear, of guilt, of unmanaged sin. When church community tried to reach out to me, I'd always have an excuse. And when I did engage, I'd either have that hockey mask on just to be defensive so they wouldn't get too close, or I would joke around with a clown mask on to basically show that everything was okay. When there was a request for prayer, I was reluctant to go up. Why would I want to tell these people what I was carrying? These were the lies that were being spoken into my life. And these were the lies that I was believing. And truly what had happened was that these masks that I was putting on, all it was doing, it was isolating me. And the only thing that I had was myself, my thoughts, and the opportunity for continued lies to be spoken into my life. It was truly my loss. The thing is, though, that it was only when I started to truly see what God was trying to do with the community and start to open up and trust that I could show the real Peter John, that I could actually see how God was trying to use me in his kingdom, was trying to use me in relationships and trying to use people within relationships to actually help me flourish and help his kingdom flourish. I want to tell you, though, that you can sit here and you can think that God is only using your church community to grow you, but he's also using people consistently outside of these church walls to work in your life. You know, The he's constantly bringing people across your path to help you. Just like Simon of Cyrene was put across Jesus' path to help him carry his cross, this was something that God is going to do in your life as well. So you might be defensive of you, or you might have that clown mask on, but the reality is that he's going to bring other people across your path because he wants to see you succeed. And something happened to me during this season, and it was actually part of the season that caused me to actually break away the masks. And I was working with a client, and this was when I was still in my previous job. I was working with a client, and obviously the client is paying me money, so I can't be defensive and I can't be fake with this person because I've got to put my best face on. And that client was a Christian client. And that client saw possibly at that opportunity that I dropped my guard from being this person that was defensive here in church, because I thought it was only here that it would happen. And that client, we sat down in that office and he just started pulling out things that I was grappling with, that I was fearing with. And we sat in that client's office and we actually prayed. And that client was actually Ryan over there. It was before we even came to church. It was, we found ourselves that God had used another person in the kingdom to bring across my path to help me start breaking away from these masks that I was wearing to pretend to everybody that things were fine. And I want to tell you today that if you are sitting over here with a defensive mask on, or if you're sitting with a clown mask on, just pretending that there is pain, there is a lot of people over here that have gone through the same, if not more, than what you've gone through. God has placed you in a community so that you can share the load, so that you can actually be helped along, and that you may grow as a Christian. Don't reject it, because it truly is your loss. And one of the examples is Jesus. Jesus used what God gave him as a community. God had appointed disciples around him, and the evening of his arrest, they were in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus, probably out of all of us, had the greatest opportunity to believe that his disciples would not understand the weight and the magnitude of what he was about to do. He was literally going to carry the weight of the sin of the world. And he had every right to probably think that the disciples still wouldn't understand what he was going to go through. But what he did is he still reached out to them. He still reached out to the community that was given to him, and he said, "My disciples, can you pray for me?" He revealed the raw sorrow, the raw, real sorrow of what he was about to go through. And he asked for prayer and he asked for help. When he asked Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, "Can you please stay with me and pray for me and be with me?" That was asking for help. There he was using what God had given him for help, for prayer, to carry the load. The last mask I want to speak about is the hygiene mask. And I left the hygiene mask for the last mask, because this is the mask that impacts how we engage with community. How we engage community, and how we've been asked to make disciples of people, how we've been asked to be active within the kingdom. And the reality is that we can't truly be active in the kingdom until we've got that firm identity foundation. So our identity is firmly found in God. And we are healthy in ourselves. So you have to establish that relationship with God, as well as use your community to help you grow. It's at this stage that you truly have the ability to benefit others, to grow the kingdom, to expand the kingdom, to reach out to them. But the hygiene mask is the mask that people wear when they're in the airports or in the shopping malls. And I'm by no means speaking about the individuals that have to wear them because of health reasons and their immune system's low. I'm speaking about those people who just walk around incredibly afraid that they are going to catch whatever's in the air. And sometimes we as Christians wear these holy hygiene masks. We put them on because we don't want to get involved in the dirt of the sinful world. And there's a big difference between getting involved in the sin as opposed to reaching out and helping people to better ways. I want to tell you that a hygiene mask is not of Jesus. A holy hygienic mask is not what Jesus taught. That is something that the Pharisees taught. And I'm going to tell you now, you look just as silly as the people in the shopping malls and the airports that wear them when you do. Okay? So why do we do it? We do it because we feel possibly that we're better. We feel as though maybe we possibly we need to separate ourselves. It's very much what the Pharisees did in the Bible. They had to separate themselves because they were holy. But we are called to expand the kingdom. We are called to advance the kingdom. And the only way in which we can advance the kingdom is if we're real with people. We've been called to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And we know that when we love our neighbor, or when we love, you have to be real. So what does real mean? Like, being real means that you're not going to judge someone. You're rather going to reach out and help them and teach them about the good news so that they can change their ways. Okay? The other thing is that you're possibly not going to gossip. Okay? You're not going to gossip behind someone's back. Rather, what you're going to do is honor them in their absence. It's interesting how the flow of that works, because if you're not right, if your identity is not right, or if your identity is insecure, or if you're in a weird space, more often than not, you're the one that's passing the judgment. You're the one that's passing the judgment to deflect from what's really going on inside. And that's why it's important, if you have followed that, to really have a healthy relationship with God, have a healthy identity founded in God, as well as have a healthy outliving of your faith. You don't need to gossip. You don't need to be weird with your hygiene mask, because what you want is you want to spread the good news. Like George preached last week, you want to have that holy gossip. You want to have that holy gossip where you're spreading the good news to pull people away. Sometimes it requires getting dirty. Sometimes it requires sitting in a person's mess to see where they are. It doesn't mean you're going to condone what they've done or what they're doing or where they are. But the thing is that you can be the very rock that pulls them away and showers them with the amazing grace that you once needed and you're probably going to need in the future anyway. Jesus' disciples asked him, Jesus' disciples were challenged by the Pharisees, and they said, well, why does Jesus hang out with sinners and tax collectors? And Jesus, knowing the heart of the Pharisee, turned around and said, a healthy person doesn't go to a doctor. A healthy person doesn't need a doctor. I'm not here to help the righteous. I am here to lead people to repentance. And the reality is, as long as you are wearing your hygiene mask, you cannot be real. And if you're not real, you cannot establish trust and advance influence to help these people. And as long as you're not real, you cannot lead these people to repentance in the way God wants to use you. Where do you stand today? What mask are you wearing? What's going on in your life? Do you find yourself with a phantom mask where you're trying to cover up a deformed identity? You believe the lie that you're covering a deformed identity. Do you find yourself wearing a hockey mask where it is completely defensive, that you believe you're so filled with shame that you are trying to defend the efforts of your community that are trying to get in, the very community that God placed in your life, that you are trying to push away? Just because you feel that the shame won't go away, or they'll judge you, or you'll feel a thing of inadequacy. Let me space out here. Are you wearing a clown mask? Are you sitting here today and you are filled with pain? You're filled with hurt? And the only way in which you know that you can do better is to pretend as though you're filled with joy. So you can pretend as though that you're like Russell, who's got a smile on today. I'm just going to try and mirror Russell. But deep down, you're going home today and you're filled with pain and you're filled with hurt. Or are you wearing the hygienic mask, the holy hygienic mask, because you don't want to get involved in the mess of the world? You don't want to get involved in pulling these people out. of where they are and leading them to a better way, leading to the truth of the gospel, the truth of the good news. I'm going to tell you today that no matter what you think, you cannot be real and cover up. They're two mutually exclusive things. Being real does not go with covering up. We are asked to expand the kingdom. We are asked to grow disciples. We are asked to make disciples of our brothers and sisters. How do you expect to do that if you're not real? How do you expect God to work in your life if you're not real? And here's the thing, that God pursued us. God pursued us with a relationship. He brought Jesus, and that blood was poured. And when that blood was poured, it covered our sin, it covered our shame, it covered our faults, so we don't need them anymore. We are asked to reflect the light of Jesus. We are asked to truly reflect the light of Jesus. As a mirror reflects an image, we are to reflect the image of Christ onto the world. And as long as you are trying to add masks onto what's already been covered by Jesus, all you're doing is you're distorting your ability to reflect the glory of God. So I'm going to ask you today, I'm going to ask you and I'm going to challenge you that if you are sitting here today and you're wearing a mask, if you're wearing a phantom mask, if you're wearing a defensive hockey mask, if you're wearing a clown mask, if you're wearing a hygienic mask, I'm asking you, come lay it bare. Come take it off. Come strip it off. Come and be real. Come and be real with the people that God has placed you in and the community has placed you in. And come and be real with God, because you're not fooling God. Just like Adam and Eve didn't fool God with the fig leaves and the hiding behind the bush. God knows our hearts. He knows our thoughts. He knows our very being. He knows exactly what you're thinking right now. And when you get challenged to come up and lay it bare, don't let the soft lies of the devil try and undermine your desire to come and take these masks off. Because I can tell you now, the power that holds those masks on is not that strong. It's not that strong, but the power of Christ is. So can we have you stand up? And as we sing the last song, by the tune, and if I can remember, I believe it's Amazing Grace. It is Amazing Grace, eh? Yeah. Come and receive God's grace that's already been given. The blood has been poured. Come and walk under the cloak of Amazing Grace. The veil has been torn. The relationship with God is there. If you are holding back, if you are wearing masks, come and lay them bare over here.